Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here on the program. And we come your way Sundays from at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m., Mondays at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we thank you so much for joining us and sharing the information. We link to our guests. We hope that you will click on that link, both on the schedules page prior to the guest's appearance on the program, as well as on the radio show's page where their interview is located. We have a returning guest to our program, and she has it's been quite a while since she's been with us, and I'm really glad that she is joining us to talk a little bit about health and wellness. She's right here in Santa Barbara, California, but she gets around. Her name is Kathy Groover, and you're not an MD. You're in alternative health and wellness.
Correct.
You have a website called the Alternative Health, the AlternativeMedicineCabinet.com.
Absolutely.
And we encourage people to go there. You've written five books.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to feature any of them specifically, but we're probably going to delve into so many different subjects. It's just ridiculous. But thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
This is an area that for a lot of us, it kind of drives us crazy after a while, because just when we think we have, so to speak, found the holy grail for our health and well-being, it all falls apart.
Right.
Something else happens, and now we've got to go in for additional diagnoses and treatment and this and that. I am not a fan of, never have liked the regimen or the routine, daily routine, of having to take medications.
Right.
And that is one of the things that we might touch a little bit upon in terms of alternatives to that. Now, I've gotten into the routine because, for better or worse, if I don't take the high blood pressure medication that I am taking, unless I can find an alternative, and maybe we can talk about some remedies, some suggestions, alternatives for some of the things that ail us. But if I don't take this, then my blood pressure will rise. And then I'm in, as my wife likes to say, stroke zone. And this has nothing to do with swimming. And I could end my life prematurely.
Right.
I mean, my parents are in their 80s. I had a great-grandmother live to be 100, two of them, actually. Mm-hmm. And so I'm barely halfway there if I'm going to, you know, live according to, you might say, according to the Dugan plan of 100 years. So I have to do the things, at least right now. I also consider where I'm at as a phase.
Mm-hmm.
Just like every phase that we have in our lives, this is not permanent. The high blood pressure issue for me, this is my mental perspective, is this is where it is right now, but it's not staying here.
Right.
Okay. Eventually, I'm getting off of this, and it's going to be normal. But by the same token, then I have the question that I've asked this many times. If we're all individuals, then how do we know that the readings that they've been getting without the meds aren't my normals?
Right.
Or heart rate, or body temperature, or any of those things. Let's talk about the physiological norms, as they say.
Right, absolutely. And it's so interesting, Richard, because over the years, these numbers have changed.
Really?
The cholesterol numbers have changed as considered what's normal.
Uh-huh.
The blood pressure has changed as to what's considered normal. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I'm not anti-Western medicine. In fact, I'm glad we have Western medicine. I'm glad that if you need it, you can take that blood pressure med.
Yeah.
And that I could have my thyroid out, and my dad can inject his insulin. And, you know, if there's a gunshot wound, please don't come to my office for a homeopathic. Please go straight to the doctor.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we have that option, but I wish it was used differently.
Yeah.
And to say that these numbers have changed over the years and they say, oh, well, we've done more studies. Have you done more studies, or do you want to sell more pills? You know, I have to question that.
Yeah.
Because every natural health practitioner or nutritionist that I've worked with has said if your cholesterol is under 200, it's dangerous.
Right.
And that you actually have to look at the size of the molecules and the ratio of good versus bad. And you have to look at the low density HDL, you know, the LHDL, you know, there's
right.
all these other things to look at. And one of the things that drives me crazy about Western medicine is it is this one size fits all thing.
Yeah.
you know, five people walk in with headaches, five people walk out with the same medication. Whereas if you go to a natural health practitioner, whether it's a massage therapist, which I still do a lot of massage, or homeopathics, or Ayurvedic, or acupuncture, you know, you're going to get five different treatments according to that person, to that holistic being. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where Western medicine fails, is it treats symptoms usually without getting to the root of the issue and without knowing you as an individual. And yeah. That's where I really like the integrative medicine, the complementary alternative. Of medicine gives you options.
I've heard it said that there is, and again, not to make a real blanket statement, because I want you to elaborate on this either way, but I have heard it said that it is that the cause of most of our dis-ease has to do with inflammation of all kinds.
Yeah.
And that compression, when things inflate, it compresses other things and causes problems. And I was reading in a book called Neurogenesis. I wasn't even aware of this at the time, where he writes in one of his chapters about the causes of inflammation. And one of the main causes, which could be a cause of high blood pressure as well, is stress.
Yeah.
Western civilization as we know it today.
Right. Well, and I've written two books on stress. So the last book I wrote on stress, called Conquer Your Stress, is all about that. And it gives you about 60 different things you can do to help your stress response. And I do lectures all over the world on stress. But here's the interesting thing. Stress isn't the problem. And I'll tell you why stress isn't the problem.
I thought I was there.
No, you're close. It's our response to that stress. Just verbiage. Because we can't control the stress. We can't control the traffic.
Right.
We can't control the woman in line in front of us at the post office that looks at every stamp ever made before she picks the flowers and we just need to mail our mortgage. We can't control what's happening with the government. We can't control any of this stuff outside of ourselves.
Yeah.
What we can control is our reaction to it. And knowing what is and is not in your control is your first step to not letting stress be a problem. Now, I'm guilty of it too. I'm not perfect, even though I lecture about this. But there's countless ways that you can help expand your toolbox mm-hmm. to help you with stress. And that's the other thing that drives me crazy with the Western medicine is, you know, you go to your doctor, they give you this big five-page form to fill out about, you know, what are you drinking and what are you smoking and do you smoke crack and does your husband beat you and what did your aunt's cousin's nephew die of and, you know, this whole thing. They don't ask about stress.
Yeah.
And to me, that's the first thing I ask when I do a health consultation or hypnotherapy, which I also do, is what's your stress level? What's causing it? Can you move away from the stress? You probably can't quit the job. You can't leave the husband. You can't let the kid on the side of the road. As much as all those things are tempting, we don't always have the power to do that. So then what do? We manage our response. And there's multitudes of ways to do that that have no side effects, don't cost you a thing, aren't a pill you have to take, don't need a prescription. It's all in your power to do. And right there, giving you that control of something, which is your reaction, can help decrease your stress response.
The alternative medicine cabinet's the website, which brings to mind the fact that we were redoing our bathroom a few months ago, and it had this, it was a three-section, one-piece medicine cabinet, mm-hmm. right? We removed it from the wall. Okay. We haven't replaced it with anything, really. And yet there's another cabinet we have that's starting to fill up with things. But what we found was the number of prescription medications, most of them had expired, that were just sitting there waiting for Christmas or something. I don't know what. That we stopped using for whatever reasons. Maybe the pain was gone or whatever the purpose was. And we ended up throwing them away.
Right.
And unfortunately, what happens with a lot of folks is they throw them down the drain.
Yeah.
And then that ends up, so to speak, disseminating in the water supply. And then we're all taking this stuff.
Yes.
And we don't even know that we're taking it. And there's, that's just another side thing. But back to the medicine cabinet, I wonder how many people have gone into their medicine cabinets and taken a look at the various medications. I'm not talking now about, for example, we have, I'm trying to think of the names of them now. They're alternative types of things that you, topicals that heat up that help pain and so forth.
Like capsicum and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And there's some name brand things that you can buy too, Chinese remedies
yeah.
that are over the counter. I mean, they're, you know, no problem that most people know about. Tiger Balm. That was the one I was thinking of. Very good. It feels really good. Smells, it doesn't smell bad.
I like the smell because I use it all day long with clients, so yeah, I'm kind of used to it.
And then there's another one that I started using that was recommended to me, also, I believe, Chinese, white flour.
Yeah, the white flour oil, it's great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, fabulous for muscles, and if you're congested, if your sinuses are congested, inhale a couple of that, that'll clear you up.
that or horseradish, one of the take.
Yeah, well, I have a story in my book about horseradish. It's had a bad experience with that.
kind of a side note, I was researching, because I love here seared ahi.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, seared ahi tuna. Love it. I didn't even know about it until we moved here to Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
And then I found out about wasabi sauce, the green sauce. But then I started researching a little bit more because we thought, I wonder if we could get that anywhere here in California and Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out, and I'm sorry for the spoiler alert, folks. This is a spoiler alert. The only place that you can get genuine wasabi sauce is in Japan, because that's the only place that plant is grown. It's extremely expensive. And you're going, well, then what is that I'm buying at the fish market? That's green dye and a mixture of horseradish and I think it's sour cream.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. Now, will I buy that again? Absolutely, because it's very good with the seared ahi, or with my steak or whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway, getting back to these different Chinese remedies,
mm-hmm.
I think in our first interview many years ago, I made the comment that Chinese medicine's been around for 5,000 years.
Yep.
They never had an FDA.
Right.
They had nobody checking this stuff out. They just intuitively knew that it would work, and it did work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still using it today. So what is the problem? Are people, and I don't mean the medical community, mind you. I'm talking about the general public.
Right.
Are they today more receptive than, say, maybe when you first started, say, training or studying alternative medicine? Have you seen any kinds of shifts in that regard? Or have people been pretty open to all of this?
It really depends. It depends on the generation you're from. So you have my father and people of that generation who they listen to their doctor. And that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And to them, this stuff seems silly. I was talking to my dad about some alternative remedy. And I said, you know, I found all these studies that say it fixes it better than the surgery. And he kind of laughs and said, well, if that's true, why isn't everybody doing it? You know, it's one of those things. It's either the too good to be true thing or, well, if it's that easy, why isn't everybody doing it?
Yeah.
Because people don't know about it. They're not trained to do it. And your doctor's not trained to tell you about it. So I see that generation who is kind of still bucking the system and going, no, my doctor said this. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, let's incorporate it. We can't do this all or nothing thing.
Right.
And I've had clients of both ilks where, you know, I had a woman dealing with cancer who absolutely would not go back to her Western medicine practitioner, not even for a scan to see if the alternatives were actually working.
Mm.
And it was driving me crazy only because I thought she was risking her own life.
Yeah.
And my job as a practitioner is not to heal people, not to cure people, not to fix them. My job is to facilitate their healing.
Mm-hmm.
And when she told me about all this radical, very fringe, very expensive stuff that she was doing. If you want to do that, that's, to me, that's totally your right. If you want to drop $3,000 a treatment, but at least go see if it's working.
Yeah.
Because if it's not, you're putting your life in danger. And maybe you want to go that route. It's your journey, not mine. But I think we have to have a combination of this stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the things that excited me so much is I went back, I've been 3 or 4 times now to Harvard to study mind-body medicine there. At Harvard, they're doing this research and they're doing these classes.
Wow.
So exciting. And the first one I went to, which I think would have been 2011, I was there with about 125 physicians. And I'm not a physician. I have a PhD, but I'm not a medical doctor. And it was very intimidating to me. And I thought, oh, God, are they going to burn me at the stake in the backyard, you know, because I'm, you know, touting things like herbs and no artificial sweetener. And
she's a witch.
She's a witch, burn her. Wouldn't be the first time I heard that. It's one of the kindest things someone said to me on the radio. But it was a little bit intimidating because I wasn't sure if I was going to be welcomed. I didn't know if it would be so technical and above my head I wouldn't be able to follow it. You know, we had a whole 2-hour thing on nothing but fMRI and looking at just scans of people where I'm sitting there, you know, glazed over going, I don't know what that is. But everybody not only embraced me so wonderfully, and when we talked about some of the alternative stuff, they would stop me and ask me questions about it,
mm-hmm.
which was so cool. And at the end of this 5 days, which was crazy intense. And we did laughter yoga, and we did Tai Chi and Qigong and meditation, visualization, affirmations. We talked about herbs and nutrition. It was a full 5 days of just the most incredible, kind of complimentary alternative learning. And at the end, I was so thrilled to have so many of these physicians raise their hand and say, I'm bringing this back to my hospital, clinic, practice, facility, and I'm teaching people about this stress reduction. So the fact that that handful of people, and they do these classes once or twice a year, that they're reaching so many people, and then they're going out and spreading the word even more. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in the 70s, you can say, oh, yeah, it's this free love crap with the hippies and the herbs and da da da. You got Harvard-trained doctors mm-hmm. who are saying this stuff works.
Yeah.
When are we going to get on board here, people? You know, so it's a matter of just using your head and deciding how far or near you want to make those decisions and incorporate all of it.
Yeah.
There's no one way. There really isn't. I hate to tell everybody that.
Now, we all know that it took, I'm pretty sure it took decades for chiropractic to be recognized as not only viable, but also something that insurance will cover.
Yeah. And there's still people that say, I have an injured friend right now. And I said, oh, you really not want to go to the chiropractor? And she says, I don't believe in chiropractors. And I said, no, I've seen them. They exist. They're really there. I do some work for a couple of them. They're really there.
Yeah.
Ghosts, you can claim you don't know if they exist. I've seen chiropractors.
Yeah.
I've touched them.
Yeah.
They've worked on me.
And I've learned too that there are now just as I have learned about Reiki mm-hmm. and the energy work there, and there are different levels of that, there are different levels of chiropractic that I was not aware of. Now this is a real key for me, because the subject of education excites me and infuriates me at the same time, because so much is being denied to the public from an early age on up. And unless, and this is, we talk about this on this program all the time, one of the slogans, or if you will, or subtitles, providing, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices. Mm-hmm. How do you know that you have tried everything? You have actually researched every possibility? How do you know that that problem can't be solved? I don't know if you've seen this movie. We just watched it in the theater just recently mm-hmm. called Martian.
I've not seen it, but I've heard really good things.
Well, it's a great movie, but one of my favorite parts has to do with the main character. I won't give any of the details away, but how, in spite of his fear and frustration and anger and all of those other emotions that are raging inside of him, he manages to calm himself down enough. And he's a botanist, bear in mind. He's a botanist. He manages to quiet those emotions long enough to begin to problem solve.
Yes.
On what we would consider one of the harshest environments you could probably think of, he begins the process of accomplishing things all by himself that, had he not had the education, well, first of all, of course, he wouldn't be there. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, he hadn't had the education, and he's there.
Right.
He's going to die because he doesn't know. I interviewed a woman 25 years ago. They called her the Weed Woman. In Phoenix.
Uh-huh.
I still have a deck of her cards.
Mm-hmm.
She and the reason why she really got involved was because she was watching the first Iraqi war. And she saw these families sitting on the roadside, starving, kneeling on the roadside. And she noticed the plants that they were kneeling into that were edible and nourishing. I didn't know this, and she taught me this, and I even tried this. If you cut the first, or you call it the last 2 inches of a green tumbleweed and put them in boiling water, you can make a very nutritious stew, throw some potatoes or whatever mm-hmm. else you want. And I did that, and it's really good. Remember, it's got to be a green one.
Right. Not the one that blows across the road when I'm on my way to Fresno.
You got nothing.
You had said something that just about choice.
Yeah.
And that sparked, I've got to, there's this a really short paragraph.
Please.
In my new book called Journey of Healing. And my mom passed away when I was 18 from cancer. She was not given any choices. It was chemo, radiation, surgery, surgery, surgery. That's all there was in the early 80s in Pittsburgh. She was given a relaxation tape, which was the sound of the ocean, which mm-hmm. after two listenings, it ended up being mine because she wasn't listening to it. And so one of the reasons I wrote this book was about choices. And when you said that, I just want to read this real quick.
Please.
This is the last paragraph of the introduction. So this book is just that. It's about options. Not everything will work for you. Not everything will make sense to you or fit into your belief structure. But with this buffet, take what you will and leave the rest for another. We are all on an individual journey, and we cannot judge or imagine what another is here for or what path they walk. I wish you all find completeness and healing in your lives, and hopefully this book will act as a beacon of choice.
I should use that as the tagline at the end of this program every week.
I mean, that's what this is. This is about everything that I have discovered over my 45 years on this planet, 25 years of being in alternative medicine, and it's choices.
Yeah.
And same thing with my stress book. It was so cute. My mother-in-law is a big fan. I love her to death. She read my book. And I have things in there, everything from color healing and Reiki and past life regression and herbs and chakras and, you know, really what people would consider out there.
Yeah.
And I have the mainstream things like prayer and yoga and meditation and laughter and, you know, exercise. And she read the book and I said, what'd you think of it? And she goes, I didn't like that section on past life regression. And I said, okay, you don't have to read that section. And she just kind of looked at me and she cocked her head to one side and I said, that doesn't fit into your belief system.
Right.
I said, that doesn't work for you, so you don't have to do it.
Yeah.
And I actually mention auditing, Dianetic auditing, in the book because it's something that I had learned about, and it works for so many people, and most people don't know what it is. I don't do it anymore. I don't follow that. It's not my path of any sort of religion, but I had mentioned it in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a gentleman on a radio show get so up on me because I mentioned that. And he goes, oh, what are you, a Scientologist? And I said, one, who cares if I am? Two, no, I'm not. I said, but I mentioned 65 things in this book. Do you think every day I do these 65 things? I said, there are some that I practice, some that I do. I said, this is a buffet of options. And if you walk into a restaurant and there's green beans on the buffet and you don't like green beans, do you storm out of the restaurant or do you just not put them on your plate? And at the end of the show, he said, thank you. I just wanted to get that out. He said, I wasn't trying to spark a fight. He goes, that's what I wanted to hear from you. And I'm like, well, tell me that ahead of time so I don't get hyped. Yeah. But it's, you know, you take what you need and we have choices. Yeah. Every breath we take, we have the ability to make a different choice.
And everywhere we are in whatever stage of life, we have choices. Period.
Yes.
Now, the question is, do we know or do we have access to additional choices, or are we being prevented from getting that information? And in many instances, we are being denied access to that information because the powers that be, whoever they are, parents, school, church, what have you, they don't believe it, and so they don't want anybody else to believe it. And that's, to me, the really sad fact. Again, I go back to Chinese medicine. Mm-hmm. It's probably, and maybe it's not, but as far as I know, based upon the choices that I have, the information I have, it's the oldest medicine there is on the planet.
Yeah.
Okay? And again, that's as far as I know. If I get educated by somebody, such as yourself, that no, there's actually this over here, the huli-buli, that's been around for 55,000 years. Be that as it may, I don't know all of the ins and outs of the Chinese medicine, but I do know that I would rather trust my life and well-being right now to Chinese medicine and remedies than anything else right now.
Right.
Because I am aware of and I have seen and have experienced relief and change in my own physiology. Now, I'm curious about something. Now,
yes.
You've acknowledged that of the 60-some-odd things that you've mentioned in your latest book, whose title again is?
Journey of Healing.
Journey of Healing. How is your health these days? And maybe a little deeper question is, how is your health impacted, affected by the healing work or the facilitating that you do on a daily basis?
That's a really good question. I just literally, before I came over here, worked on a brand new client who said, oh my God, you've been doing this 25 years. Why don't you have carpal tunnel syndrome? Thought an interesting way to phrase that. And I said, well, I've adapted over 15 years of doing this full time to not pinch, to not use my thumbs, to I use knuckles and forearms and elbows. I have adapted a way that my hands don't hurt from doing massage. Now, I also do flying trapeze because I needed one more thing to do with my hands.
Really?
Yeah, there's a whole chapter on that in the book. It's so much fun. Oh my God, I'm totally obsessed. There's videos all over. Anyway, I had a low back injury many years ago. And being a dancer since I was five and a gymnast and doing stuff like that, I have a chronic low back issue, which sometimes the massage bothers it, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes during my cycle it bothers it, sometimes it doesn't. And what makes it feel the best is trapeze, which is kind of funny.
It's kind of like traction, though.
It's traction. It's swinging. It's strengthening the core. It's doing all those things. So from a physical perspective, my work doesn't really suffer. However, I have people, and I just had this conversation with my husband. All day long, people are demanding of me. Not in a negative way, like, give me something.
Right.
But they show up to my office, and they expect me to be present, and me to be happy, and me to be healthy and kind, and giving of them for anywhere from an hour to two, depending on why they're there. And after 15/25, depending on how many years you want to count, that can be emotionally draining.
Yeah.
It can be very stressful to have people relying on you for something. You know, if you work at a computer all day and you're having a bad day, you close your door, you sit in your cubicle, and you don't necessarily have to engage with someone. It's really hard in this work because people need you. There are no sick days for me. There are no, oh my God, I can't touch one more person days for me. And I'll be very honest with you. There are moments where I go, oh no, there's one more person coming. And I have found ways to deal with that. I go out and I walk around my building. I go across the street and I joke with the people at Coffee Bean. I started formally meditating every single day. And I'm doing John Edward program, the medium who used to do the TV show Crossing Over.
Oh, yes.
And he had a suggestion for this phenomenal, basically guided meditation, which I've been doing every day. And I get out of that even after 10 minutes, so refreshed and so rejuvenated. And people have been telling me, and I talk about meditation in all of my books. I'm not a great formal meditator. I want to dance and do trapeze. Don't tell me to sit on a pillow and turn off my brain. Not real good at that.
Yeah.
But the meditation that he suggested totally works for me. And so you find ways to adapt to that. And that's what prevents the burnout. And I know so many healers and so many massage therapists or Reiki masters or whoever who hit a certain amount of time and they start to hate their clients. They start to hate their patients. Mm. I don't ever want to get there. And my husband, Michael, has a very good suggestion. Take a little break every day. So you don't get 6 months in and realize you're going to run through the streets screaming and you need 6 months off. And I do really try to do that. I really try to make sure I give myself a little break every day, as we all need to meditate, to pet the cats, to sit in the garden, to sit quietly, to, you know, bang my head to 9-inch nails. I mean, whatever works for you.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the most important things when talking about relaxation. You have to find what works for you.
Yeah.
And I have a girlfriend who might actually listen to this and hear it, who her idea of relaxation is she'll sit in a chaise lounge.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll sit there.
Just sitting.
She'll just sit there.
Okay.
That sounds like punishment. I want to know what I did wrong if you're going to make me sit in a chair and not move for an hour. You know, she's not reading. She's not work. She's just sitting there. And I'm thinking, oh, that sounds horrible. That is not my idea of relaxing. Yeah. My idea of relaxing is throw me in tomorrow's hip hop class for an hour and a half, or get me on the trapeze, or throw me in the garden, or, you know. Relaxing is different for every person. Mm-hmm. And exercise, what you really want to do for exercise, is different for every person.
Yeah.
And if I hear one more person say to me, oh, I suppose I should do yoga. Why? Why should you do yoga?
Yeah.
Because your aunt says you should do yoga, because Deepak Chopra says you should do. Find what works for you. I don't like yoga. It hurts my back.
Yeah.
I don't do it. Yeah. So it's such a customization. It comes down again to options and choices.
I think one of the greatest lessons I learned, and it's going back, wow. 17 years, and I just met Amrita, and she was involved with, or I shouldn't say involved with, but she was connected with a group of folks who would get together sometimes two or three times a week in somebody's yard, and they were doing Tai Chi.
Mm.
And she brought me along to one of these classes, and I'm thinking, I don't really belong here. I mean, I don't know Tai Chi from chow mein. And anyway, the gentleman who was teaching was her mentor. His name is Sunyata Saraswati. He is the co-author of a book that I became acquainted with called Jewel in the Lotus.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Yes. His co-author was Bodhi, I think was her name. Anyway, and I was sort of in the second row back, and I'm trying to follow the music, and I'm watching everybody else, and I'm trying to do the movements. And he finally stopped everybody, and he walked up to me, and he says, you need to relax. He says, and don't worry about the form. Just let the energy move you. And it was like, oh, wow. Okay, I don't have to even come close to being like everybody else. I will eventually maybe one day learn the movements, which I did and have since forgotten. But we're actually going to start doing that again. But I think that's something, too, that a lot of people, especially with meditation, and I'm guilty of it, too. We get so caught up in the structure and the form and the way it is supposed to look, as it were.
Yes.
That we forget about the reason for it, the purpose. And again, this is just for me. My realization is that the purpose of meditation, in addition to all of the other wonderful benefits, is to listen to and hear and hopefully follow the promptings of that still small voice. Now, does that mean that my mind is quiet? No, but I can still hear the still small voice back in there somewhere. I recognize it. I know what it is. And for me, that it's reconnecting with, whether you want to call it your higher self, you want to call it God, Supreme Being, Universal Energy, whatever you want to call it. To me, that is the real core purpose of meditation. And not everybody is aware that they're doing that, and that's okay. But when they come out of the meditation and they're feeling better at whatever the meditation, whether it's swinging through the air on a trapeze and that's your meditation, or I think it was Teresa of Avila says that God is amongst the pots and the pans.
Yes.
So you can meditate anywhere and in any way. A form of meditation that a chiropractor who practices at another level of chiropractic, he says, let me offer you this. He says, when you're walking, because I love walking, and yet I have this inflammatory issue with my knees and my ankles. It drives me nuts. I can't walk like I want to, right? But when I am, he says, what you do is every three steps, all right, you take a breath. You breathe in. And you walk three steps, and then you exhale for one or two. And
walking meditation.
Exactly. And he says, and of course, I tried that, and I've got music playing in my ear at the same time, and I'm trying to be conscious of not running into anybody, and it's a challenge.
Yes.
It is a challenge, but not impossible.
Yes.
But anyway, that was his form of meditation. So there I am, I'm doing my regular walking and meditating at the same time.
Yeah.
To practice it. Yeah, that's what it is. It's a practice. You never reach a level of proficiency because that's not the goal.
Right, absolutely. And some people, and I'm very type A, very, very, very type A, plus, plus, plus. I really am. It's so funny. I talk about stress and meditation and all this stuff, and I'm one of the most type A people I know, but I keep writing things, so that's it's just serving me. People think they have to do it right.
Yeah.
They think there's this end goal in mind, which is, I'm going to be perfect at this. You're right. That's not what it's about. Yeah. And I have taught probably millions of people to do a mini meditation, which I mention in all of my books, which is inhale, I am, exhale, at peace. And you just repeat that over and over again. Inhale, I am, exhale, at peace. You can say it out loud if you want. If you're, say it in your mind. You can do it in line at the grocery store. You can do it when you're driving. Don't close your eyes. That creates a whole other set of problems. But that, to me, was the gateway drug to me to meditate, because that I could do.
Yeah.
I can think I am at peace, and I do it all the time.
Yeah.
And even when I go into John Edwards' guided meditation, which, I mean, I guide myself. It's not on a tape or anything. I start with 3 minutes of I am at peace, and that gets the other thoughts out enough that I can go in and do this visualization.
Yeah.
It is so useful, and you can do that with kids. I've done that with teens who have addiction issues. I've done that with people with anxiety. And I have had people say, well, you know, it's not really meditation. It's like, but how are you defining that?
Yeah.
You know, no, I'm not sitting on the pillow, and I'm not stilling my brain, and I don't have my fingers a certain way, and my tongue on the roof of my mouth, and my eyes curled up to look at the back of my skull, and I didn't float away in a million bubbles, which I think is the goal. I don't know. I'm being fun, but funny, sure. But it's like, that's this perception.
Yeah.
And it's like, again, we have to make it what works for us. And yeah. I would rather do 5 minutes of I am at peace than be frustrated for 10 that I'm not doing the other meditation right.
Yeah.
And it's uncomfortable.
When I was in grade school, we were taught in biology class that boys and girls learn differently, that boys have a lot more energy, they have trouble sitting still, and so they have to be taught a little differently. And girls, they're a little more sedate, not all, but I mean, just in a general sense. And they tend to learn, and their brains develop a little faster, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I thought, okay, I can understand, and I can accept that, you know, that they on the other side, they learn a little faster and so forth than I, and I'm full of energy, and I was as a kid, and jumping around and bouncing off the walls. And then I get out of high school and I start hearing about how the school system is now trying to normalize all of them with Ritalin specifically. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, hold it. There's a disconnect here. You told me back there that, and now you're telling me this. What changed? And it's because we don't know how to handle these kids. But you told me that that boys and girls are different, let alone that as individuals, they're all different. But even as sexes, they're different in an energetic way. So why would you try to normalize them and destroy that part of who and what they are?
Which brings up the question of what's normal.
And what's normal?
And let's look at it from a holistic point of view is we're giving them soda, which is either artificial sweetener or high fructose corn syrup.
And as we speak, I'm on week 8, 0, not a drop.
Attaboy. That's the one thing I say you got to get rid of is the soda. So artificial sweetener, high fructose corn syrup, the chips and stuff you're giving them are high in MSG. All those things are excitotoxins. We're giving them all the sugary stuff. We're giving them not enough nutrition because the food that is the fast food and the processed food is nutrient void.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking away gym class and recess, and you're putting them in the most uncomfortable chair ever with lights that slightly flicker, with not enough nutrition, not enough water, not enough stuff. And then you're saying, sit still. Okay.
Yeah.
So why are they hyper? And I love TED Talks. It's one of my dreams. I want to do a TED Talk so bad. It's one thing I've not gotten to do that I want to do. But my favorite one has to do with this British gentleman. He's talking about education. And he tells the story, and this was a couple decades ago, but a woman was completely just at her wit's end with her daughter. Daughter couldn't sit still, was running around the class, just hyper and not paying attention in class. It was driving the teachers crazy. The mom took her to a psychiatrist. And this was kind of before the diagnosis of ADD, but she knew something was wrong with her daughter. And the psychiatrist sat there and talked to them as a little girl sat, you know, sitting on her hands and trying not to move and trying to behave. And the psychiatrist, who was brilliant, said to the mom, let's step out just for a second. And you little girl, you just stay there and, you know, we'll be back in a couple minutes. Do whatever you want to, just, you know, play with the toys or whatever. And as he walked out the door, he flicked on the radio. And they went out and watched through the window and the door, and the little girl started dancing around the room. And he said to the mom, your kid isn't hyper. She doesn't need medication. She's a dancer.
Yeah.
And the mom pulled her out of traditional school, put her in a performing arts college, or, you know, school, and then college in New York, and she ended up being one of the top choreographers.
Oh, wow.
Very easily it could have been, oh, yeah, she's a freak. Here, take this pill. And it's like, same thing with me. It's, you know, my mother was always saying, oh, can't you sit still? And I was always thinking, why don't you get up? Because sitting still looks really boring, and I'm a teenager. I mean, you know, I'm 10, and I'm a dancer, and like, why would I want to sit? Sitting still did not appeal to me.
Yeah.
Would I be diagnosed today with ADD? I don't know. I don't remember being like that in school, but I do remember I didn't want to sit there any longer. You know, you do at some point need to get up and stretch and move your body. We weren't made to sit, especially at that age. So it's you know, fascinating. And again, it comes down to options.
Yeah. And by the way, there is one great exercise as we go to break that I strongly encourage everybody to do. You are physiologically prone to it, So go with it. And that is when your body says stretch, like when your cats and dogs stretch, do it. It feels good. You know that it does.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good for you.
Yep.
It really is. Kathy Groover, we're going to continue our conversation here. We're talking about just about everything under the sun when it comes to health and wellness and your health and wellness. And it is thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. She has 5 books out. We'll kind of go through maybe the list of them, and you can pick and choose what you want. By the way, you use the buffet
of options? Yes.
We use smorgasbord here.
Oh, lovely.
It works just as well. It's the same meaning, and you're listening to Tell Me Your Story. Stay tuned.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
Welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. As we stretch out here, I encourage you to do that. It feels so good. I have to tell you, Kathy Groover's my guest, and the Alternative Medicine Cabinet is her website, alternativemedicinecabinet.com. And I have to tell you that since I learned about the whole aspect of, I mean, I've stretched all my life. We all have. But when I found out how beneficial it was,
mm-hmm.
just for the psyche, when I watch my dog stretch, my big black King Shepherd, Angus, and I see him stretch out his hind legs, or he goes down on his front,
yes.
on his chest, and stretches those front legs out, I just go, oh, yeah, that feels good, doesn't it, boy? Oh, yeah. And I mean, he does it a lot.
Yeah. And they do it spontaneously.
And there's nothing wrong with him.
Yeah.
It's just because it feels good.
Right.
And he feels like, I need to do this. And so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's interesting. That actually ties into something I want to get into. As a pet owner, let alone I'll call myself a farmer when we had chickens, I learned that you do not try to get the animals to behave the way you want them to. You learn why the animal is behaving the way the animal's behaving, and then you work with them. And there's a big difference between those two.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to our bodies, they're talking to us all the time.
Yes.
And sometimes we're listening and sometimes we're not. I mean, I'm not in violation of the HIPAA law when I talk about my ankles and my knees and my arthritis that I've been told I have. And I have markers in my blood workup that say I have inflammatory markers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my knee is swollen and my ankle is swollen. I could have told you that without a blood workup. I mean, that goes without saying. I could have told you that.
Right.
But he says, but there are no markers for rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm going, well, that's nice. And then, of course, the whole high blood pressure thing. Before they even took the first blood test for that whole thing, right? You're not going to find anything. And they didn't. I said, it's not in the blood. It's in my head.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you said before about stress. It's not the stressors. It's how we respond to them.
Yes.
And for a while, I wasn't responding really well.
Right.
And I'm doing real well now, whether it's the med I'm taking or not.
Mm-hmm.
I am doing much better and changing my perspective on things. So when it comes to listening to the body and following its directive, so to speak, or mm-hmm. its guidance, if you will, or maybe in that meditation we hear the still small voice say, you know, you might want to go see either the alternative, da-da-da, for this, or you might want to go see your physician, or you might want to head to the ER because it would be prudent
yes.
to do that, because otherwise you're going to have other things going on. What about listening to the body?
We have to. No one knows us better than we know ourselves. And I always use the analogy of when our car starts to make that funny noise, and we can call our car guy and go, hey, Ian, you know, my car's making this sound when I go uphill at a right angle, and it goes tick, 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 tick. You know, we can recreate that for the car guy. But when people walk into my office and I say, how are you feeling? They go, fine. I say, okay, well, fine doesn't help me. And if you're truly fine, you're probably not going to be here. But, I mean, what do you mean? Is there anything in your body that's hurting? Oh, I don't know. Okay, well, think about it for a second. Or they'll point to what's clearly an arm and they'll call it a shoulder. They'll point to their low back and it's their butt. They'll point to, you know, it's like mm-hmm. we don't know ourselves. And granted, it's hard for me to be because I know so much about the body, it's hard for me to step back and remember when I didn't.
Yeah.
But we have to know how we feel when we feel good, mm-hmm. so that when we don't, we know when that shift happened. So when I say, how long has that been hurting you? Oh, I don't know. You need to know that. Did this start last week? Was there something that brought it on? I had a new client come in, and he said he had a knot in his neck. And the second he told me that, I thought, oh, that doesn't sound – I just had a bad feeling.
Yeah.
And I finally got my hands on him, and he has a huge mass. And he thought it was a muscle. And I said, you need to go to your doctor now.
Mm-hmm.
This is not a muscle. I said, I don't know what it is, but I don't mess with lumps, especially in the neck.
Mm-hmm.
You need to go. I personally don't have a good feeling about it. I really hope I'm wrong. But he had a CT scan and we're waiting for results. But he thought it was a muscle. He mm-hmm. was trying to roll it out on a foam roller. You know, it's like we need to know when things are changing in our bodies. We need to know when things hurt and when they don't and when they feel good and when they don't, because we can't help ourselves and others can't help us if we don't know what's happening in our body.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Same thing, whether it's a food you're eating or something you're drinking or a stressor. And, you know, now we have all these gadgets. Everybody's got a Fitbit and these things we put on our arms.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many of them that will monitor your heart rate to tell you when you're stressed. It'll mm-hmm. monitor your breathing pattern to tell you when you're stressed. If you need a tool for it, go for it. We've got them now.
Yeah.
But we have to be more aware, because we're the only ones that can really help ourselves.
Yeah.
And if we are ignorant to what's happening in our body, and I'm not laying blame on anybody, but we have to educate ourselves. We have to ask the questions, and we have to know. And you're the only one that can do that.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I almost every morning when I drop Amrita off at the clinic, I'll stop into a little room, and I'll weigh myself. And then she'll come in and she'll take my blood pressure.
Mm.
Now, I used to not let her do that because my biggest concern was, if it's high, she's going to freak out, then I'm going to freak out because she's freaking out.
Right.
Not because of the high blood pressure, but because she's freaking out, mm-hmm. trying to calm her down. I now let her do that, and it's fine. And my rates have been within that quote-unquote normal range where they should be. Now, 184 over 120, not a good place to be. I don't think that is a norm for anybody, as far as I know.
Right.
But the range that I'm in, she's happy with, mm-hmm. I'm happy with, my doctor's happy with. But I am beginning the process with her, because she is she has been studying to be an herbalist. I am beginning the process of using herbs and tinctures that she creates, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. We even created, and I actually chuckled when I first heard that she was going to do this, because the first thing I thought of was Granny and the Beverly Hillbillies. She was going to create a poultice.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, what the heck is a poultice? Well, what she mixed up wasn't any big deal.
Right.
And all it was soaked in gauze. And then that's wrapped around. And then you wrap, in this case, you wrap cellophane around mm-hmm. that, and so on and so forth. And that's all it was.
Yes.
It was just a wrap, you know. But I don't know where the name poultice came from.
Yeah, I did that for my knee and for my foot and for – I have a whole –
castor oil.
Oh, castor oil. That's great for digestion and things like that. I did one with comfrey after my knee surgery and then also after a foot procedure.
Mm-hmm.
It helps healing so much. It's such a lovely thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not exactly her guinea pig, mind you, because I'm willing to do these things.
Right.
Simply because – I'm not thrilled with the side effects that I read when I go online for a particular medication that I've been prescribed. The first thing I go to is the side effects.
Right.
And if one of the side effects is that which I'm being treated for with the medication.
Yes.
For example, the one medication that I was taking before for high blood pressure, one of the side effects is rapid weight gain. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. But if I put on more weight, then I'm putting more stress on the heart. And ergo, it's going to raise my blood pressure. And I'm also not going to be happy. I'm going to be stressed because I won't be happy with the weight. I mean, I reached 200 pounds. And it wasn't the physical weight that bothered me. It was psychologically. No, 200. That's not me.
Right.
And I refuse to stay there. And I'm down to 185.
Nice.
And I'm trying to go down another 5 if I can get down. But now the new medication, I checked it. Well, it has the same one. But so far, everything seems to be stable.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sticking with it. But apparently there is an herb that I could take in a certain form that would help high blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So she's created a tincture for me.
Nice.
And every morning I take 2 eyedroppers and I put it in a glass and I pour some cherry juice in and I drink it down because
mm-hmm.
it is some of the bitterest. I've had bad whiskey before.
Yeah, this is.
I would drink the bad whiskey before I drank this stuff solid, cold.
Straight down, yeah.
Straight. Yeah, but for me, and again, I'm speaking for myself. That's what I am choosing to do
mm-hmm.
because the side effects don't make any sense if one of the side effects not only is the condition you're being treated for with the medication with the side effects,
right?
But if the side effects contribute to the condition
right.
that you're taking the medication for. It just logic dictates that doesn't make sense.
Right. Most people don't look at the side effects or that's not going to happen to me. Or,
and my
you know,
doctor said that.
Yeah.
When I told him about the side effects, oh, no, it doesn't do that. And I just I wasn't going
to
argue with
it. Somebody. And again, the side effects, though, I mean, if I think during the trials, if just one person says.
Yeah.
So maybe it was one person who went on an eating binge and they had rapid weight gain. You know, I mean, you kind of have to take that with a grain of salt.
You
also
don't know the stats and all of the individual pieces of information.
Right. But the other thing to remember is herbs are chemicals, too.
Mm-hmm.
Herbs can interact with things.
Mm-hmm.
Herbs can be dangerous if you take them in combination with other stuff. So I don't recommend everybody just go out and make your own tinctures.
No.
But I do that. And I actually tell a very funny story about horseradish.
I'd like to hear it.
Okay. I moved to California and I lived around the corner from an herb store. Bulk herbs. I was in heaven. I had been fiddling with herbs since high school and it was just so cool. So I walked down the street and I said, "What do you have for this, 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 and this?" And not knowing of any laws, they said, "We can't tell you what herbs to buy. Here's a book." And they hand me, I think her name is Lewis Tenney's book, Herbal Stuff. And I still have the book. It's falling apart. And I flipped through and I saw that horseradish was good for sinus problems. Now, I grew up in a house that didn't have fancy food. It was the 70s. It was boxed and bagged and processed. And I didn't know what horseradish was. I had no idea what horseradish was. No one in my family ate horseradish, didn't know what it was. And so I bought a 1/2 pound of powdered horseradish. And I made capsules because I have a capsule maker and I'm an herbalist. And I had no bloody idea what I was doing.
Let's see where this is going.
Yeah, so I took 6. 6 capsules of pure, and you can all laugh, it's okay, pure dried horseradish. And my eyes bugged out my head, and I started screaming in pain. It immediately started burning my stomach, and I screamed for my boyfriend to grab me a gallon of milk. I don't drink milk anymore, but thank God I did then. And I literally guzzled, like I was a frat boy at a party, a gallon of milk. And that lasted for about 15 minutes. And then I needed more milk. And this went on for about 7 hours. Needless to say, my sinuses were cleared, as was most every other thing in my body.
You did achieve the goal you set out.
I did achieve the goal, and I was so stupid about it. A couple days later, I went, "Oh, I know the problem. I simply took too much. I'll only take 3 this time."
Mm-hmm.
Doofus. And luckily, I had milk on hand, and the same thing happened. But I tell this story because I don't mind making fun of myself. It was me being naive and thinking, mm-hmm. "Oh, it's an herb. It's natural. It's safe. You could take as much as you want." No, wrong. Most people don't know that St. John's Wort, which is one of the most popular natural remedies for depression,
mm-hmm.
can negate the side effect. Can negate the effects of the birth control pill.
Oh,
whoops.
Uh-oh.
So your depression's gone. Until you get the pregnancy test back.
Yeah,
and then
exactly.
It's, you know, so you have to do your research about these things. You can't just assume because it's natural, mm-hmm. it's fine. Take it from me. The horseradish did not sit well. I still to this day can't, you're saying the word wasabi and I'm going, oh, can't even do it. You know, it's like, oh.
That's where that reaction comes from.
Yes.
Okay.
What, you know, would you like horseradish with your steak? No.
And that's why I let her
handle
the creation of the tinctures, the poultices, the whatever it is in the capsule form. There's a wonderful cold remedy that she's created that takes mm-hmm. 6 months to create because
wow.
it has to sit.
Yes.
I think it's 6 months. Maybe it's 6 weeks. Anyway, honey and garlic.
Mm-hmm.
And you just put the garlic cloves in the honey and you just let it sit.
Yeah.
And the garlic permeates the honey. And then what you do is if you feel something coming on, you take a teaspoon of this stuff. Which isn't, I mean, yes, it has the sweetness, but it also has the garlic.
Yeah.
So be prepared for that. But you just take 1 teaspoon and then you can maybe take another one the next morning if you're not feeling well mm-hmm. and so forth. And it It may or may not completely obliterate the cold issue. It may just minimize it.
Right.
And then again, maybe your system needs the cold because it needs to strengthen itself.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's another aspect of these different viruses and things that come along. For example, the flu, when it comes around. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I haven't had a flu shot. I don't know when the last flu shot I had.
I'm not a big fan.
Could have been when I was in grade school, maybe high school, and my folks made me have it.
Right.
But as an adult, I can't remember having a flu shot. Have I had the flu? Not as far as I know.
Mm-mm.
Now, have I had respiratory problems, digestive problems on occasion? Sure. And they go away. And my immune system, I'd like to think, is pretty darn strong. Now, I like this analogy because of its message. I'm not real thrilled with its analogy because of the analogy. But it is said that if you're going to have a military force, unless they have an opportunity to work and train, they won't get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying send them off to battle, but they need to have an opportunity to train. Well, your immune system needs that opportunity too.
Yes.
With the little stuff. That's why when I hear people, when I was a kid, I was playing in the dirt all the time.
Yep.
And who knows how much dirt I ate, both intentionally and otherwise, just through it floating in the air, because it has things in it that help the body. It's just amazing to me how we have missed the symbiotic relationship between us and the earth.
Yeah, I agree with you. And there's so many people now, and they actually see that kids who were raised in this, completely sterile household, they tend to have more allergies. They tend to have more respiratory issues, cold and flu. My mother was a total clean freak. And now I have an allergy to dust, and I have slight asthma, depending on the time of the year, mm-hmm. because she kept the house so pristine. She mm-hmm. dusted twice a day. She vacuumed every day. I didn't have a chance to get around dust because there just wasn't any. So now as an adult, I think I've got issues, maybe just because I also didn't grow up in California. I'm allergic to a lot of the trees and plants here. But I think a lot of it is the dust and the dust mites and the molds and things like that. We assume that the germ theory of disease is correct. Good old Pasteur. There's mm-hmm. a germ. We get the germ. We get sick. I have a different take on that. I don't believe in the germ theory of disease. There's another theory talking about the environment of the body, talking about the terrain of the body. Mm-hmm. And to me, if the germ theory was true, we'd all be dead.
Yeah.
Because we're all exposed to germs every day. I touch people for a living. I have mm-hmm. been exposed to so many things from my clients. And my body goes, oh, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And because the terrain of my body is strong and healthy and clean, it just handles it.
Yeah.
And when I see, and I have not been sick in years, I can't tell you the last time I was sick. When I feel something coming on, it is after a long and completely uncontrollable bout of stress.
Mm-hmm.
Things like foreclosures or clients dying or that kind of stress.
Yeah.
That insane, the tax audit, that put me over. Things like that is when my body goes, oh, I can't handle it. Daily, I've had one flu shot in my life because I worked for a company that made me.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm not a fan. But I don't get sick, and I'm exposed to stuff all the time. And it is because I keep the terrain healthy. And if you have a completely polluted swamp that is filled with mosquitoes, do you stand there and try to kill every mosquito, or do you clean up the swamp?
Yeah.
I would rather keep my swamp a healthy lake and stream and water. So to me, it's all about being as healthy and clean as you can be. And then if you do get attacked by a germ, it's not going to be able to take hold.
Yeah.
And it's a mental thing as well as a physical thing.
Oh, yeah. And we could get into the whole aspect of the power of the mind as well. And I mean, that's been well documented that we 99% of the time, maybe 100% of the time, we're creating all of the issues that we're dealing with anyway.
Yeah.
It's not just, and this is where I get into, as we come to the end of our program here, this is where I get into the issue of science has determined that everything is it's all energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all energy. So if it's all energy, then what difference does it make what we take in? If it's all energy, then now it's energy inside of us. Well, on a real material, material plane,
mm-hmm.
it does make a difference.
Yep.
Because in this world, in this reality, these are the rules. Whether we know them or not, it's a whole other thing. But these are the rules. And so, yes, everything is energy. whether it's a particle or a wave, I don't know. But nonetheless, we won't get into that argument. But nonetheless, in this reality, this is the way things operate.
Right.
And we need to connect with this world in the sense of understanding it and working within it. Uh-huh. And I think that you're doing a great job in what you're doing through both your website and the books and the lectures, all of the things that you do. I know this interview was somewhat difficult for us to get together because your schedule is so full, not just with patients, with clients,
right,
but just with all of the other things you're doing as far as educating other educating others.
That's what I want to do. That's why I learn all this stuff, because to me it's like, what is the point of me learning all this if I don't then tell people about it?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's why I write and that's why I lecture and that's why I do the radio shows. And I've gotten so many emails and notes from people saying, thank you so much, I so needed that info, or, you know, you sent me to the right doctor, you know, whatever it is. I don't need the credit for it. I just want people to know.
Yeah.
I want people to know they have choices and they have options and there's other things that they can do for themselves. They just have to take the step to do that. And it was funny, I saw a client yesterday or a couple days ago who said, blah, 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 well, you know, no wonder I'm stressed, I have that jerk husband at home. And I looked at her and I said, you know, you can leave the husband.
Yeah. I mean,
you might not want to.
Exactly.
You might just be having a bad moment with him. Yeah. But you have a choice there.
Exactly.
Or change your perspective and don't call him the jerk husband. I mean, there's you might not like all your options.
Yeah.
You might have too many or not enough, but there's options. And it's just so funny. I hear how people talk. And again, I'm guilty of this too. You know, I'm not perfect, even though I teach this. But we always have options, if nothing else, to change our language about it, to change our perspective.
And changing the language can go a long way. We've even talked on this program about the power of words.
Yes.
And I got to tell you, I kind of went around in circles with folks when I was working at the religious station about this too. Because they would use the phrase, you know, there's power in the word. I was like, okay. If that's true, then why are you speaking so disparagingly and so despisingly of those who aren't going in the direction that you're going if you want them to go in the direction you want them to go? I am sure, Kathy, you don't walk into a lecture hall knowing that 50 to 75% of these people really don't want to be here, but they have to be here because it's part of their career or whatever. They don't agree with anything that you're saying. And the last thing that you want to do is get up there and start, I can't think of any other term to describe this, start Bible thumping.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Right.
So you have to come at it from a different perspective in order for others to hear you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this is why people like my talks and my books, and because I have this pragmatic approach. I don't get preachy. I know it works for me. It might not work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that I view everybody as an individual and that they have to find their own path in this, and maybe the path is through an illness. I have had multitudes of people tell me that cancer is the best thing that happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they made a change. They made a shift. They
yeah.
were able to help other people. That they quit the job. They left the husband. You know, whatever it was. That to them was their catalyst of change. I don't know what anybody else's journey is. I'm not even sure I know what my journey is at this point. You know, I just go with it, and I assume the blueprint will unfold as I go. It's
yeah.
like that map, the map in Harry Potter, where as you walk, you see the path appear in front of you.
Yeah.
I don't know where my end result is. It's not about that. It's where we are right this moment and what is working and not working in our lives and making other choices if we're not pleased with how it's going.
Right.
And creating that for ourselves.
And if you've gotten to a point where you're sitting there with your hand in your head, your head in your hands, and you're saying, I don't know what to do next, then talk to somebody who you trust, who might be able to offer you some additional choices. Talk to an organization, a nonprofit. If your religious affiliation is available to you and you feel mm-hmm. comfortable, then go there, because that's the only way that you're going to hear about other choices or options.
Right.
It's the only way.
Yeah. Other people have a perspective sometimes that we don't.
Right.
And when we, and I've lost several clients and friends to suicide, and that's a horrible experience, and I can't imagine being at a place where you feel like that's the only option.
Yeah.
There are other choices. And again,
yeah.
they might not, you might not see them. They might seem cruddy. A friend of mine from back east sent me a piece of paper that said, feel like you want to kill yourself? Question mark. And it had this list of questions with answers. It basically said, you know, when was the last time you showered? Get up and take a shower now. When was the last time you changed out of your pajamas? Put on real clothes now. And it was stuff like that was really simple. And you and I go, well, of course we're going to shower and put on real clothes. But if you're to that point where you're so low,
yeah,
you've got to do something
mm-hmm.
to make a change. And whether it's seeing the sun for a couple minutes or taking a shower or putting on real clothes, when was the last time you ate? Go get a cracker. When, you know, and it was such a
yeah.
brilliant
mm-hmm.
list
yeah.
of simple things that get you out of your self for just a moment, that lead you forward. And sometimes just that shower makes a difference. Or yeah. calling a friend and saying, I need a hug.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many cyber hugs are we giving on Facebook because someone had a bad day?
Yeah.
You know, call someone and say, I need a real hug. Or
yeah.
get on Facebook and say, I'm feeling low. Someone tell me something nice about myself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we need to hear that every once in a while. And I think having the ability to reach out, and with social media, we can reach out as much as we want. You know, we've got endless opportunities
sure.
to do so. So take that step, whether it's a shower or saying to someone, I need a hug today.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to thank you so much for joining us and for sharing the information. Again, the website is thealternativemedicinecabinet.com, thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. And we are most appreciative. I would love to have you come back on a somewhat of a regular basis to
yeah, that'd be fun.
Maybe address some specific issues and talk about some things. Before we let you go, though, I'd like to ask you three questions
mm-hmm.
That I put to all of my guests. First of all, who is Kathy Groover?
She's... She's an educator and an entertainer and is making a difference.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
I want to empower people. I want them to know they have options and choices.
And who inspires you?
Wow. I think every single person that walks in my office, and I don't know why, I just got emotional about that.
You are the second person I have made cry with that question.
Woohoo! Congratulations.
Noah Benchia was the first.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't believe it. But I thank you for
yeah,
being so
weird.
Honest. It's something that is to me quite extraordinary when I think about that. I haven't actually asked myself those questions, so I'm not going to answer them now. But I thank you so much for answering them honestly.
Yeah.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story with Kathy Groover. And again, the website is entitled thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. Check it out. Check her out. And how could they get in touch with you aside from the website if they wanted to maybe make an appointment, even if it's for a consultation?
Yeah, absolutely. My email address is drkathygroover@gmail.com, and it's Dr. Kathy with a K. GRUVER@gmail.com.
Okay.
And I'm here in Santa Barbara, and I could do stuff via Skype and around the world.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Skype is great.
Yes.
It really is. Again, thank you for joining us. I'm Richard Dugan. Thank you for joining us, and join us every week. Go to the website, richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, and check out the archives. We are linked to our guests, like Kathy Groover, at thealternativemedicinecabinet.com. Until next time, love to all.